Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The 2013 Milwaukee Film Festival opens tonight. The German comedy The Breakup Man kicks things off at the Oriental Theater at 6:30, followed by the traditional and legendary opening night party that takes place at Discovery World at Pier, Wisconsin. Well, this year's festival offers the usual great mix of films, from the shorts and animation to the full-length blockbusters in their 35mm glory. And the keynote speech will be given by four people this year: Keith Phipps, Scott Tobias, Tasha Robinson, and Nathan Rabin of the Chicago-based online film magazine, The Dissolve. It's only been around since July, but in those few short months, it's already made a splash in the film world for the quality and depth of its writing. Phipps and Tobias join me now on Skype from their Chicago office. Keith and Scott, welcome to Lake Effect.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to having you here at the film festival on Saturday as well, talking about the present and future of film and film criticism. So let's start right there. How have things changed since you both started in film criticism?
Oh, I mean, the main thing I can point to is I got into this to write for a newspaper, and I remember like when my first bylines were coming out, I kind of wait by the newsstand, but I certainly would check frequently and wait for the newspaper to show up. And then there's no paper to what we do now. It's all the website.
No, yeah, there's that, and then there's the fact that along with that, jobs have contracted, so film criticism has become off more of a hobby than a vocation for many. And we're very fortunate that we've been able to hang in there in a kind of dramatically changed landscape. But it's definitely not what it was.
There's more film writing out there than ever before, that I best I can tell. A lot of it's really good, and a lot of it's not necessarily done by people who are doing this professionally. So we feel lucky to have kind of carved out a little place for ourselves.
So obviously the web makes that possible, but is there a sense that criticism is somehow diluted because there isn't that single point of focus that a newspaper offered?
I'm kind of two minds about it because, I mean, I grew up in a time when every town had one, or even when I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio for a while, two film critics, and kind of having like this local perspective, like your guy in town who would tell you about what movies were playing. I can't help but be nostalgic for that. At the same time, I've never really been a part of that. It's always been about either the internet or newspaper that was distributed in many different cities. I like having access to people who are writing about film all over the world. And I think we've benefited from that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and you can seek out different kinds of writers. You're not stuck with whoever your local critic is.
Yeah.
You can go around the web. You can find people who are talking about film in a way that you find appealing and sort of zero in on that. Which is great as a reader, for sure.
Do you think it makes criticism itself better, though, having so much of it available?
I think, again, of two minds, where I think the short answer, yes. I think the more good film writing is out there, the better. But I think sometimes a lot of film writing can kind of get stuck in an echo chamber where someone writes something and someone responds to it and someone responds to that response. We kind of let the cycle play itself out. And that can get a little dull after a while.
Well, I think there's also what's missing, too, is that kind of structure that a publication provides, like a newspaper provides. I started with a student newspaper, and then sort of went from there. But even at the beginning, you know, I had to write for editors. I had to learn to write for general readership. I had to learn the discipline of writing, filling a news hole, and all of these other things. And these are skills. These are, I think, valuable skills as a writer, and they're valuable also to readers, and kind of knowing how to reach them and attract them with language. And some of that structure is gone now. And I think it leads to some writing that's a little bit undisciplined or not appealing.
I was going to say maybe self-indulgent.
Perhaps, yeah.
For the two of you, then, what makes a good critical piece now? And has that changed since you started in the hard copy of newspapers?
I don't think it's really what makes a good film piece has changed all that much. And you know, when we were kind of scoping out what we wanted to do with the site, and one thing we wanted to do is, without patting ourselves on the back too much, because we're writers and editors, but as editors, we want to look for that Venn diagram overlap of people who really know about film and people who can write well. You know, that's the sweet spot right there. People who can like approach, who can approach a piece of film writing as a piece of writing first.
Yeah, we like smart, accessible writing, and you know, we want to encourage cinephilia and have people engage with the ideas and not find them inaccessible, but also, you know, find them substantive. So that's kind of the sweet spot we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people that sort of that inspired me were people who, when I was a teenager and younger, a kid, I read film critics going way back. It was people who kind of guide me through an idea and provide an introduction to something, no matter how forbidding it might seem. I mean, if you just throw someone in the deep end with a piece about, you know, John Cassavetes' Woman Under the Influence, without explaining to someone who might not know Cassavetes, explaining who that is, or walking them up to it, you're can get in trouble.
Yeah, you can alienate people.
Well, I think people probably go to films and watch films in a different way now than they did probably when we were all first going to the cinema. Do you find that people react to criticism differently as well? How is the audience responding to all of this?
I think one thing that's changed is because so many films are now accessible by streaming and on demand. And, you know, with a lot of movies, you don't have to wait for them to show up. If you're kind of there at a push of a button these days. And that's something we tried to address with the site as well. But I think one thing is you're going to find people who know what you're talking about because they have access to the films, which wasn't always the case even 5 years ago.
Movie going in general has changed dramatically, even within the last couple of years, as celluloid has died out and digital has taken over. The way in which people seek out and watch films is just dramatically different. Yes, there are still movie theaters, but you know, if you live, you know, in Des Moines and you want to see an independent film, there are actual options. You know, like a new independent film, there are options for you. There's on demand, and you can receive things that way. And that's actually something we've really tried very hard with the site to address are those readers who don't necessarily live in New York, but are cinephiles and you know, can watch these films, you know, at the same time as people in New York and can engage in them and be part of the conversation.
Yeah, there's an immediacy to it all now because of the internet that we didn't have. But yet, we still have film festivals like the one you're appearing at in a couple of days here, and it is a big deal and it sells out. So there's still something, I think, about the communal aspect of going to a theater with a group of people and sitting and watching a film in the dark.
That's the real thing right there. I mean, no matter how many different ways there are to watch movies and many legitimate ways to watch movies there are, and there's films I've never seen on the big screen that I don't feel like I haven't seen them, but that right there is the actual experience of watching a film, is going to a theater and seeing something projected. I'll even say preferably on film, although that makes us more and more of antique with every year. That's movie going right there.
So why did you pick, of the one of the films you wanted to talk about, why did you pick Blowout? This is Brian De Palma's 1981 film.
Well, there's several reasons. I mean, one, we were thinking we wanted to go big. And this is a film that was shot, you know, very widescreen, 2:35:1. You know, it's De Palma working on a very large canvas. He's a filmmaker we really like. It's my favorite of his movies. I think certainly among the rest of the Dissolve staff, I think it's a favorite as well. And it's also a movie about movies, which felt appropriate as well. And then there was a thing where we just wanted to see it.
Yeah.
We wanted to see it projected in 35mm. And so they offered this opportunity to pick a movie, and that's what we did.
So it takes you back to that experience of actually seeing it on the big screen, even though you've seen it however many times before.
Yeah, and I've never seen it on the big screen. I've seen it on DVD or Blu-ray and that sort of thing, and videotape before that, but never in 35mm. I haven't seen a film in 35mm in months. You know, I went to a film festival. I was in Toronto earlier in the month, and I didn't see a single film in 35mm.
Really?
And a lot of people haven't seen this in a film in any form because it was not a hit at the time. It was kind of a stumbling block for De Palma's career and for John Travolta's career, and it was only really kind of started to get a reappreciation or, you know, reappraisals in the 90s. Although I think Ebert was always a big fan of this one.
Yeah, well, I think mistaken. So. And Pauline Kael.
Right, of course.
Yeah, and speaking of critics, I was thinking of her as well, because talk about somebody who could write and had a very definite opinion, and you could agree or disagree, but the writing just sort of sucked you in.
I feel like with Kael, I disagree with her more and more the longer I do this, but I enjoy her writing not a whit less.
And I love great writing. I mean, there's still plenty of writers who have that ability. I think A.O. Scott and Mundola Dargis and for the Times. I mean, that's as good a 1-2 combination as I've seen in any publication.
So part of the panel, as we mentioned at the beginning of this, is you're talking about not just the present of film, but the future of it and the future of film criticism as well. Where do you see things going in 5 years if you could, you know, look in a crystal ball and say, this is where things seem to be going?
Well, I feel like we're at a real turning point for some of the reasons we already talked about. Other reasons being the sort of seeming inability of Hollywood to make medium-sized films anymore, or that many small films either. But increasingly, summers are dominated by these big, spectacular blockbusters, which I often love. That's fine. But I think there's sort of going to be discontented audiences that want more and won't be able to seek them out. And I think more and more it's going to be through things like on-demand and digital platforms and probably things that we haven't even thought about yet.
And as far as criticism is concerned, I mean, I think you can't really predict where things will go. But I think with our little experiment here, you know, we'd like to see criticism in the digital age be a viable prospect, you know, and to see more sites like ours develop and more writers get paid, and for there to be, you know, I don't know, sort of a return for writers to develop and to get paid properly and to put great things out into the world.
Well, we're looking forward to having you here in Milwaukee. Looking forward to coming up. It's not the first time you guys have been up here.
Oh, no. I used to drive over. I lived in Madison, and I used to drive over to the Oriental for press screenings back in the 90s. And I always love going to the theater. It's one of my favorite movie theaters on Earth. And I'm excited to pay a return visit.
Yeah, and I was a juror at the 2010 festival. So I'll be coming back to the festival. I'm very excited. I absolutely love the city of Milwaukee, and it's a shame I'm only going to be there for the one day I can't stay any longer.
Well, Keith and Scott, we're looking forward to having you here, and thank you very much today for talking with us. I appreciate it.
Sure, thanks for having us.
Keith Phipps is the editorial director of The Dissolve. Scott Tobias is one of its editors. They, along with Tasha Robinson and Nathan Rabin, will present the Milwaukee Film Festival's State of the Cinema keynote address on Saturday afternoon. It takes place at Collectivo Coffee on Prospect Avenue. There's more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Looking for a new job? Well, then your resume probably needs to be updated. We'll learn some of the best ways to do that when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.